Kumail Nanjiani is a stand-up comedian living in Chicago, but he was born and raised in Pakistan. Nanjiani chronicles the culture shock he experienced when he moved to the U.S. in a one-man show called Unpronounceable. More profoundly, the show tells the story of Nanjiani's decision to abandon his Islamic faith. Here's a clip.
There's a story that the angel Gabriel visited the prophet Muhammad, and he cut open his chest, and he pulled his heart out, and he cleaned it, which would kill you. But it didn't kill him. He put his heart back in his chest, and he was made pure. But the rest of us remain imperfect.
Kumail Nanjiani told Steve Paulson how he started questioning his faith by performing an excerpt from his one-man show.
Well, we were told that every time you missed a prayer in hell, the punishment was that you would have a mountain thrown at your back. For each missed prayer, one mountain on your back. And I remember as a kid thinking, why do they say your back? If it's a mountain, it would kind of fall all over you, right? How big is this mountain? Maybe it's just a hill. Maybe it's just a plateau. I could take a plateau to the back. Plus, what is the method that the mountain is being thrown at you? Is it a guy on top of a mountain hurling down other mountains? Or is he tossing them horizontally across like shot put? And if he's strong enough to do that, why isn't he just punching me? That would be pretty hellish punishment. Wouldn't be as poetic, though, you know. If you miss a morning prayer, we got a really strong guy to punch you in the back. He's, like, really strong, though. I mean, he could lift up a mountain and throw it at you. In fact, that's what he's doing. He's throwing mountains at your back. We were also told that if you listen to music, you would have molten lead poured into your ears in hell. And my cousin had introduced me to A Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson when I was about 9 years old. And I loved that song. And I was secretly listening to it while my parents were away. But I remember hearing about that punishment. I put my head between my feet and I cried, terrified. And then I remember thinking, why lead? Why specifically lead? I would assume hell has enough lava, right? That would hurt. But specifically lead. Maybe Satan got a really good deal on lead a long time ago, like during the heyday of alchemy or something, and he totally overbought. And now he's like, well, we gotta move all this lead. If you listen to music, we'll pour it in your ears. If you dance, we'll encase you in lead.
Now, you came to America when you were 18 to go to college. How much of a culture shock was that?
Oh, it was a different world. I've been watching American movies my whole life, so I sort of knew what to expect. You know, I knew to expect women dressing differently and a different language, obviously. But little things were weird. There's a part in my show where I talk about, you know, I never shook hands with a woman until I came to the U.S. I was 18 years old the first time I shook hands with a woman, because in Pakistan, it's an Islamic society. Men and women aren't supposed to even touch each other. So, yeah, I mean, everything was different. It was like an alien planet. Everything felt weird.
When did you start to question your religious faith?
I started taking philosophy classes here, and I was learning all these things about debate and critical thinking and all this stuff. I hadn't really been applying these things I was learning to Islam. The first time I really questioned anything in the Quran, I was in a computer lab working on a paper exploring the different ways in which Islam and the West view religion. And I was looking up quotes from the Quran, and I found this quote. It said, "If your wife doesn't listen to you, you're allowed to beat her lightly." And I thought, that can't be right. It must be a bad translation. So I looked up other translations, and each one said the exact same thing. If your wife doesn't listen to you, you are allowed to beat her lightly. And I knew that was wrong. I knew that was wrong. I knew that God's final word to his people would not give husbands permission to beat their wives, no matter how lightly. And this wasn't something that I could fit in the little room in my brain anymore. This wasn't going to fit in there, you know? I left the computer lab and I walked around. It was 2 a.m. And I know it's cliche that my life-altering existential crisis came at 2 a.m, but that's just when they happen. I didn't pick the time. If I had picked the time, it would have been like an hour after lunch, you know, when you're really energized and ready to tackle an epiphany. But I remember thinking, the Quran is an infallible text, unchanged and applicable for all time. Well, this sentence was never applicable. If I couldn't trust this sentence in the Quran, could I trust any sentence in the Quran? And I went to bed that night and I felt like I was falling fast. I felt like I was in free fall and I couldn't see where the ground was. Could I trust any sentence in the Quran?
So it was really, it was starting to read the Quran in a new way. I mean, you'd obviously read it all the while you were growing up, but you put on critical lenses for the first time and it meant something different.
Exactly. Plus, you know, it was different here. Here in the U.S., there's an emphasis on really questioning things and considering them in a critical way and really thinking about things. Back in Pakistan, we weren't supposed to think about Islam or try and think of the pretty obvious contradictions that are in there. For instance, in Pakistan, sacrilege is punishable by death. I mean, it's capital punishment, and that's in the actual law books, you know. It says if you say anything against the Quran, you will be put to death. When I read the Quran, it wasn't from a critical perspective at all. It was just, you know, from a, all right, so this is what it says, and this is what I must do.
So have you totally lost your belief in God? I mean, not just the God of the Quran, but God altogether?
Yeah, I really think so. Yeah, I don't believe in a higher power like that anymore at all.
So you would call yourself an atheist now?
I think so, yeah. It's kind of a scary word.
What do your parents think of this?
Oh, they're not big fans of me being atheist. I sent them the DVD, and actually I talked to them this morning. They hadn't watched it. They'd heard about the show, and I talked to my mom about it today. I think she thought the show was going to be bitter and angry and sort of me railing against Islam, which is really not what the show is like. The show is just my story, and part of that is sort of pointing out the contradictions that I think are in the Quran. But she thought that the show was just going to be a tirade against Islam, you know? But it's not. So she really liked the show. And she was like, you talk about me well. She liked the show. She said it was funny. And then she waited a second. She was like, you really aren't Muslim anymore, are you? So I think it's sort of hard for her. She feels conflicted about it because she sees the show and she realizes that I'm still a moral, ethical person, that I have strong values. But at the same time, I'm definitely not Muslim. And it's hard for her to make sense of that, I think.
You know, one way of interpreting what you've done is this is the classic story of the good Muslim boy who comes to America, comes to the West, is exposed to the licentious lifestyle that we have here and loses his faith. I mean, this is what a lot of Muslims worry about. I mean, this is why they see America and all that Western consumer culture symbolizes as a problem. Is it fair to see this as a dangerous ground for Muslims to come here?
Oh, it certainly is dangerous ground. But my parents had thought the same thing the way you described it, you know, falling into the temptations of the West and all of this kind of stuff, individuality and personal freedom and things like that. But what I really wanted to convey with the show was that it wasn't just that. It wasn't just me being seduced by Western culture. You know, I had critical problems with Islam. I thought that there were inherent things that didn't make sense to me, at least in our world today. So losing Islam for me wasn't me falling off the lighted path or anything, but more me choosing to walk off of it.
Kumail Nanjiani is a Pakistani comedian living in Chicago. He spoke to Steve Paulson about his one-man show, Unpronounceable. That's me in the corner.